Let's enjoy this ongoing message by Sam Adeyemi.
We start from Romans chapter 5 and verse 19. Romans 5:19. Let's go. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. We'll title our discussion today, Good News. Good News. You know, today you watch the news, you read the news, and one thing strikes you. It's bad news. There's so much bad news in our world. It's either murder or multiple murders, or it's rape, or it's incest, you know, or it's some relationship being destroyed somewhere due to somebody's infidelity. Just one bad news after the other. That's apart from the natural disasters. And, you know, it could be overwhelming. In fact, it tends to give you the feeling this world is a terrible place, you know. But for me, I just cannot help but wonder, why is there so much evil? You know, the other day, I read in the news about the young man who was involved in some drug deals that went bad. And, I mean, he just took his gun and shot his customers. Shot them. In fact, one was running away. He shot him at the back. The guy fell down. And he took a backhoe. I mean, took this equipment, this earth-moving equipment and the digging equipment, and went and ran it over the guy, went back and forth and back and forth. He flattened the guy. Then he dug the ground and buried him, you know. And within a space of a few days, he had done that to four people. And some of them, he even burnt their bodies. I mean, I couldn't help but sit down and wonder what was going through his mind. What was going through his emotions? Why so much cruelty? See, we can try to analyze this any way we want, but we all need to accept the fact that man's greatest problem is sin. When we say sin, we're not just talking about the act of evil or the act of disobedience to God. We're talking about a nature, because it comes from somewhere. And what you realize is the fact that, you know, we're born with it. You don't take a child into a classroom to teach the child how to lie. The lie is in the child. The tendency is there. So, I know that we do our best, you know, to deal with these issues. We try to deal with them at our individual levels, deal with them in the family, you know, in our social settings, in our communities, on a national basis. But a lot of the things that we do are tantamount to cutting leaves. I mean, cutting leaves. If all that we try to do is to modify the behavior, we are not dealing with the root cause yet. Because the root cause is a nature. And the only real solution is whatever it is that can modify not just the behavior, but the nature. This is very important. Some of the solutions that we create, maybe through social services or our correctional services and so on, in fact, they create new problems. Some people commit just a little offense. We send them to the correctional facility or the prison, and then they come out worse because they mix up with terrible people in there and then learn some terrible things. And by the time they come out, you know, they cultivate new relationships. And by the time they come out, they're even worse than we thought. Marriages are breaking down. Okay? And then, since in some countries we have to provide accommodation anyway, instead of providing one for one family, then we have to provide two. And apart from that, in some instances, the social services take over the care for children. And for God's sake, social services just can't parent children the way their parents should. So we really need to look at the real issues and what the possible solutions are. I should say something, though, that I have observed, that some of the solutions that we proffer are to help us to enjoy sin while we do not suffer the consequences of those sins. We want to be free, you know, to consume alcohol or substances. We want to be free to have as much sex as we want to have, especially with people we're not married to. And we're inventing ways, innovating ways, you know, to be able to enjoy the sin without suffering the consequences. The only thing is, on the long term, those solutions don't provide permanent solutions or permanent cures. We must deal with the issue that individuals and families and institutions and communities are in distress today. But it's not all gloom and doom. And that's what our discussion today is about. There is good news. And I'll tell you where you will find the good news. You'll find it in the book many people don't want to read today. It's the Bible. Some people say, oh no, it's just a collection of people's stories, people that were just fortunate enough or smart enough to record their own history. Okay, it's just a collection of their stories. Fine. Some people say it's an antiquated book. In any case, it was even written long before now, and the things there are not relevant anymore. Fine. We can agree that the context within which people lived before, those contexts are different from ours today. We can agree that their technology was different, but we must also be reasonable enough to admit that there are some things that have been constant from their time right up till our own times. The same sun that shined on them is shining on us. Gravity worked in their day, it's working in our day. They planted and harvested, we are planting and harvesting. Okay, they carried children in their wombs, we carry children in our wombs, at least most of them this day. Some things have not changed. The composition of the human being has not changed. Sin has not changed, and the cure for it has not changed. When you read this book, yes, our technology may be more sophisticated, but our morality may not be better than their own morality. We need to deal with issues of morality, deal with issues of the human condition. That's why I want to take us into the Bible. I want us to look at what the Bible has to say about sin. And yes, some people have said the harsh things that the Bible has to say about sin, but I'll tell you, the only place where you will find the real cure for sin is in the Bible. So let me read from Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 in the Message Bible. Romans 3, 23 and 24 in the Message Bible. It says, since we've compiled this long and sorry record as sinners, both us and them, and proved that we are utterly incapable of living the glorious lives God wills for us, God did it for us. Out of sheer generosity, He put us in right standing with Himself, a pure gift. He gave us, He got us out of the mess we're in and restored us to where He always wanted us to be. And He did it by means of Jesus Christ. That is the solution. Jesus Christ. You wonder why millions and millions and even billions of people all over the world. Cultivate a relationship with this person. Some people say, oh, well, some people just like religion. It's a whole lot more than that, sir. It's because our opportunity to break free from the power of sin is tied to that one person. So the Bible says here, we are utterly incapable of solving this problem. So God did it for us. But the solution came through someone. His name is Jesus Christ. It's not just that he has the solution to the sin problem. He is the solution to the sin problem. When he was to be born, an angel appeared to his mother, Mary, told her she was going to conceive a son, and said, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. How did he deal with sin? I'll show us three ways. The first one, he defeated sin through his growing up years. He defeated sin through his own lifestyle and his growing up years. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. This is very important. The only human being who could achieve this, because he was introduced directly into his mother's womb. He did not come from the lineage of Adam, the first man. So, he lived all through, tempted, the Bible says, in every way we are tempted. The only difference with him is he was without sin. In John chapter 8, verse 46, he asked the people of his day, which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? There aren't many people who can stand in the face of their antagonists and say, how many people can convict me of sin? He could say that confidently because he was not sinning. Amazing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. 1 John 3, 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. There aren't, I don't even know of anybody else on this planet that anyone can stake a claim on like that. Before he was born, it was announced he will take sin away. When he came, he asked the people of his day, can you convict me of sin? After he was gone, his disciples here recording, one of his disciples recording, in him, there is no sin. Amazing. Amazing. The second way Jesus defeated sin was when he was tempted by Satan. Jesus defeated sin when he was tempted by Satan. We have the account in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. He was tempted by the devil. The first one, if you are the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. The second one, if you are the Son of God, jump. Jump from the tip of the temple. From the top of the temple. Jump like a Superman. The third one, the devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, showed him the power, showed him the wealth, and said, I'll give everything to you if you will worship me. And Jesus declined. Three times he was tempted. Three times he refused the temptation. He won over the devil. He won over sin, square and fair. Thirdly, Jesus defeated sin by his death on the cross and by his resurrection. There's a reason why Christians celebrate today the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There's a big reason. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Jesus went to the cross, an innocent man. He was killed. The powers that be wanted to destroy him. The one thing they didn't know was that when they killed him, because he was not deserving of death, they made him to pay a price he didn't need to pay. That price was credited into the account of every sinner that would admit that Jesus died on their behalf. So this is the good news. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 in the Message Bible. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 in the Message Bible. It reads, "Since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it into himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death." Wow. Jesus could have stayed up there in heaven wishing us the best, knowing that there was no one born of a woman, no one born descending through Adam had the capacity to live above sin. Jesus came and took on the form of flesh and blood, lived like us, felt what we felt, was tempted the way we are tempted, and then he dealt with the power of sin. On the cross, he died. Amazing. And now he offers us forgiveness from sin and freedom from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Message Bible. Romans 6, 23, Message Bible. "Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master." Wow. So Christ, though sinless, was killed by Satan and his human agents. And what God did was to credit Christ's death into your account. Awesome. Today, I have the function activated on my bank account. And when a deposit is made there, a message is generated that comes into my phone. It's a text alert. Something came in there. God wants to credit the death and resurrection of Jesus into your account, and the alert shows up in your heart. Let me read Romans. Yeah, let me read again Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 11. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Hallelujah. Awesome. Awesome. So, we accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for our sins. The moment we believe that and we ask for forgiveness from God, he says something happens in our hearts. We believe. Why? His death is credited into our account. Awesome. And then it says with our mouth, we begin to confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Wow. So today we can celebrate. Jesus Christ is not dead, he's alive. And he's alive through the power of his Spirit, right there in our hearts, making us know we are free from the power of sin. I love this. Let me read Romans chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. Romans 6, 10 to 14. It says, "For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Pay attention to verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Oh my God. Woo! This is the good news, that now human beings can come to the point where we can say, sin shall not have dominion over me. In fact, he says, when he says members there, he's talking about the different parts of our body. He says, do not let sin reign over your body. So for us now, it's a matter of choice. If you don't allow it, it can't do it. Woo! He says, now it's your choice. So you can give your body over to sin to use, and you can choose not to give your body. It's now for us a matter of choice, because we've been made free through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is powerful. Because now, not only are we free from the nature of sin, we are free from the consequences of sin. We can have healing in our lives. Our minds can be healed. Now we can be influenced from God. Our emotions can be healed. We can be free from guilt. We can be free from fear. We can be free from low self-esteem and our lack of confidence. We can be free. We can really, really be healed. Sin is the greatest destroyer of human destiny. But today, just by accepting, that the price that Jesus Christ paid by dying was paid on my behalf, and I ask God for forgiveness. It's amazing. The power that raised Jesus from death, the power of the Spirit of God, comes into you as a human being, destroys the nature of sin, puts God's nature in there. And now, he says, it's a matter of choice. Wow! So today, I want to say this. If you've never said this prayer before, today is the day. Do it. Oh my God, go beyond trying to fit into the crowd. Go beyond trying to be part of the herd. You have a right to be different. I know, it may seem like you are betraying the cause of what is popular. You need to find your destiny. If you've never had this experience before, I challenge you to join me as we pray together to receive forgiveness from God and a complete change of nature. Secondly, if and when you have said this prayer, you have received this beautiful gift of salvation and freedom from sin and its consequences, you have a responsibility, you have a duty from Jesus. You've got to share this good news with someone. Share it with your family member. Share it with your friend, your colleague in the office, your neighbor. You have a responsibility to share it. If you are moved, you are touched, okay, you are compassionate enough to care about the devastation and the destruction going on in our world right now, you want to share this good news with someone. Hear what Jesus said. Mark chapter 16 from verse 15. Mark 16 from verse 15. Then he said, go into the world, go everywhere, and announce the message of God's good news to one and all. Whoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whoever refuses to believe is damned. These are some of the signs that will accompany believers. They will throw out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will take snakes in their hands. They will drink poison and not be hurt. They will lay hands on the sick and make them well. Wow! Amazing! The power that man was robbed of from the beginning is restored. Woo! I don't know why anybody would not want to say this prayer, I'm telling you. And then in verse 20, it says, and the disciples went everywhere preaching, the master walking right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence. I encourage you today, you come across people every day. They have challenges in their lives. Pray for them. As you do, God's power will flow through you. If you're that honest person watching me right now and you're saying, please pray with me, I want God to forgive me my sins. I don't want to deceive myself. As a human being, I was born a sinner. I need God to forgive me my sins and to remove the nature of sin and put his own nature there. Will you put your hand on your heart where you are and say this prayer after me? And just perhaps you may even have been a Christian before, but you've so gone back, your relationship with God is not there anymore. You want to be absolutely certain that you're free from sin. Also put your hand on your heart and please say this prayer after me. Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing me. In Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone that just said that prayer right now. Thank you because their sins are forgiven and the nature of sin is removed from them today. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful gift, this amazing gift. Teach them to know you personally. Teach them to love you the rest of their lives. And Lord, I pray also for the person who's been a Christian already. I ask that the power of your Spirit will rest on them as they go forth and share this good news with other people. As you promised in your word, let the signs show up, heal people, destroy what the devil is doing in people's lives, give them powerful testimonies of change. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus Christ, and we give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.